So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on the tables." There was two sets of Jews, and one group wasn't getting attention like the other group. And so the church recognizes. Now, he didn't just go, "Oh, well, y'all just get over it." No, he realized there's some unbalance. There's something that's not going on here. But now as a minister, he could have gone, "Okay, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to take care of it." But look what he says. He says, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God," which was their responsibility, "in order to wait tables," which should be some other responsibility. They're both ministries, and they both were needed to be done. It says in verse 3, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who were known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." Very important, okay? Because in order for us to really do our jobs within God, we need to be led by His Spirit and led by God's wisdom, okay? Very important. It says, "We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." So we see this working as a group as being so necessary. So why did this study come up? My sister asked the question. She was saying, you know, there's some ministers that'll make the comment, "Hey, everybody, by the end of the each year, you should have brought this many people to Christ." And I hear ministers say that a lot. Problem with that is it doesn't necessarily work that way. Amen. I work for a hospital. And what happens is, let's say a person is in a very bad place. They need surgery. So first, the ambulance has to pick them up, take them to the hospital. Registration has to get them into the hospital. You have transport that gets them to their room and to the surgery room. You have people who are getting them ready for procedures, vitals and anesthesia and things of that sort. Then you have the doctor that comes in. He does whatever procedure he needs to do. Then when they come back out of it, they have to go back to their room. And then during the time in the room, they have the caregivers to help them to heal. All of that was done to save one person. And then he do it again. And that process is the exact same thing for us as Christians. So people will give that doctor credit for saving that person's life. But here's the problem. If you didn't go through all those other things, they would never reach the doctor. Does that make sense? Everybody played a part. Most of us will never know who we touched, but our responsibility is to play our part. So what happens is people then run out there and they'll end up trying to do all the pieces and mess everything up. In fact, we cause more problems when we just try to go out and on our own bring somebody to Christ. And it's exhausting and it's wrong because I'm not built to do it all. It's like one person saying, "I'm going to have a baby on my own." Do you understand that? You're not built to do it all. Does everybody understand that? God made the sections and the differences purposely for all of us to participate. Okay, so you have to understand ministry and bringing people to Christ is a team sport, if you will. It says ministry is a collective effort with each of us responsible for a part. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, "What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe." Now, it says I'm going to stop there. Only servants is lowering what sometimes we do to ourselves. I think sometimes we give ourselves too much credit, even us ministers. Do you understand that? I am nothing more than a servant. I am no more than anybody else in the body. Do y'all get what I'm saying? I play a part. He named two ministers actually. What is Apollos and what is Paul? Because some people were coming in and saying, "I follow Apollos." Some people were coming in saying, "I follow Paul." And that's the problem. They start following a person. Okay? Some even say, "I follow Christ," which we all should be following Christ. Okay? And where the downfall comes in is we think of ourselves more high than what we are. The danger is if I think of myself more high, I'll start preaching a lot of Keithisms. And people will follow Keith. You understand? That's why you have some ministries out there that people love, because the people really sold it to you, but they didn't sell Christ. You get where I'm coming from? They'll get up here and they can preach some nonsense to you that doesn't come out of the word because you're into them, not into Christ. And that becomes a major problem. That's why he says, "Only servants through whom you came to believe," watch this, "as the Lord has assigned to each his task." So it wasn't even some endeavor that I took on my own and, man, isn't that Keith is a great person for taking this? No, it's what God assigned for me to do. Does everybody get that? Okay? So I'm just doing what he told me to do. You're just doing what he told you to do, hopefully. It goes on to say, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Now, why is that necessary? Because the most important part in this whole entire part is God. And I have to recognize that. Apollos has to recognize that. You have to recognize that. So in my ministry, the most important part is I got to play my part. If the ambulance never picked up the person, he'll never reach the doctor. Did y'all get this? Then we have that in between. The doctor is ready to do what he's supposed to. But if the one didn't play their part, and that's where we miss it sometimes. We're so involved in so much other junk, we're not playing our part. Amen? Finding out what our part is. He says, God made it grow. He says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is what? Anything. Some would take that as an insult. He told me I'm nothing. Yeah, absolutely. And that's how we have to say, I am nothing more is anything but only God who makes things grow. In the end, they'll say to that person, who did this? God. Who brought him to Christ? God. We were just instruments used. Does that make sense? Okay? You see many musicians on stage, and they put on the great show and so on and so forth, and they use many instruments. And I said, I don't think anybody here got up and applauded the instruments. Because he could have just got rid of that one and gone and got another one. And that's what we are. We are those instruments. But you better be in tune, right? You better be ready to be used, or he'll get another one. He says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So understand, this is a group thing. So my job isn't necessarily just to do. My job is to know what I'm supposed to do. My job is to understand what my responsibility is. We all make up one body powered by one spirit. Okay? All right? So one person doesn't get more credit. There is no super person in this body. Please understand that. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, the body is a unit, unit meaning one. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. He's making that very clear. He's saying it's a bunch of pieces, but it still makes up one. I can't go do my own thing because I'm still part of. Does that make sense? Okay, that's a big part of it. I can't just do my own thing because I'm still part of. It says, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. So he's showing this of if I did something incredible, it came from the same spirit and I'm still part of the same body. So it's all part of us. Does that make sense? Be careful not to be wowed by an individual. And this is what happens. A lot of cults start that way. A lot of people get pulled away that way because they'll hear somebody and they'll get that wow moment because they usually beat on and play upon your flesh. Okay, while the body works in a way that you're just being hit in different ways by everybody doing their part. Does that make sense? You've seen on football teams, baseball teams, basketball teams, have you ever seen superstars that get on the team and they're outstanding, but the team stinks? You know what I mean? No matter how hard that player plays. I remember Phil Jackson when he's with the Bulls, and Jordan in his younger years, he was breaking records and everything like that, but he's mad because he didn't win a championship. And I remember after the 1 year, he said to him, okay, are you ready to win a championship? Basically said, are you ready to be part of the team? Do you understand that? See, we can have this Jordan show, make a lot of money, and break records, but you ain't going to win championships. He was like, are you ready to be part of the team? And then they made it so they played as a team, and next thing you know, they won most of the championships that were out there. In the same way as Christians, you go out trying to be super Christian, you're causing more problems. Because he made us to be a part. So we have two groups that mess that up. Those who try to be superstars when God was like, you're nothing more than an instrument, and those who do nothing. Okay, and we got a lot of those too. We got a lot of people that just kind of, I go to church, I go home. Don't include me in anything. Or I do my own thing. Do you remember I said, as God has assigned? God is not impressed with your version of good deeds. God's impressed with your obedience. Think about that. Okay, we have a lot of people that run around doing their own thing, and they want credit. God, give me credit. It's like my teacher, if I'm in the math class, and I bring them this English paper, I want credit in math class for it. And that's what we're doing. We're doing our own thing, and God, give me credit for this. And God's like, no, I already told you what to do. I'm giving you exactly what you're responsible for doing. We make up that body. We're all baptized in one spirit. And he said, doesn't matter who you are. And every Christian has a role to play if we like it or not. If you're a Christian, you have a role. Now, if you play it, it's up to you. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 12:14-19. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Do you understand what it's saying? So you have some Christians that are going, nope, don't want to do this, want to do that. God's not going to go, okay, I'll make you the hand, or you don't have to do anything. No, it's that's your job. I'll come back. And that's what you're going to be judged on. That's what you're going to be talking to God about. It's going to hit a part of your rewards. Were you being the hand? No, I was trying to be the foot. Is what he's saying. The person is saying, I want to do what I want to do, but I'm doing it in the Lord. Not realizing then you're doing nothing. He was like, he doesn't become part of the body because he says, I'm not. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God, everybody say God, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. I'm going to read that again. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Every one of them includes everyone. Do you understand this? Now, you may be in that spot and you're just not reacting. Do you understand that? You may be, you're in the spot God put you. You're just not doing it based on him. Because of my stubbornness, because of my selfishness, because of my desires, because of all these other distractions, you're still a foot. And you're going to be judged on, were you a foot? That's the question. Were you reacting in the way that he made you to react, or are you going to come up with a bunch of excuses? And all of us play a part if we choose to, just as God wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. He's saying the whole ministry machine is exactly that, a machine. One part stops working, it affects the whole entire body. But this is why I have to be focused on mine, what I am responsible for doing. Now, understand that each part of the body is valuable and is dependent on the other parts. So when we say machine, I can't go, oh, well, I'm doing mine. It's good that you are doing yours, but yours is going to be meaningless if the part before you doesn't work. Think of some sort of conveyor in which it has to go from this part to get to this part before it gets to your part. Now, if those parts aren't working, you can sit up there and go, well, I'm doing my part. Or you can go, I have to help these parts in order for my job to be effective. And this is why it says in 1 Corinthians 12:21-26, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Here's what God is saying. There are some parts, some works that are being done down here that the world not only don't see, but they hold as not valuable, but they're going to get the greatest reward, believe it or not. Okay? They're going to get the greatest reward. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it. Did y'all catch that? He's saying for those that are thankless, that go unseen, God is like, oh, no, I see. And those are going to get the greater rewards. The ones that are right here get all the praise and get things that look at. Sometimes when the ministers go up there and it looks like it's their ministry and everything about them, they're not going to get as many of the rewards. Do y'all get this? Okay. Everything, they had everything that worked for them and they got all the credit. While you have a lot of people behind the scenes that it's not as doesn't look as good. It's not something that's as attractive. But God is saying, oh, no, no. I'm going to make sure those get a huge amount of viewing. He's going to give them a lot of honor in that. Okay? It goes on to say, so that there should be what? No division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. This is a problem why when we allowed culture and differences to separate the church, we really caused a huge problem. Think about it. A lot of times we adjust to a service based on our likes, if we're being honest. Okay? We adjust to church to fit what we like, not to minister. When he says there is to be no division, there shouldn't be this church because it's in this area. There shouldn't be this church because it's this kind of people. There shouldn't be this church because it fits this group, because we're catering more to the groups than we are understanding we are all one body. Now, absolutely nothing wrong with the differences. God made the differences, but the differences were not supposed to play such a big factor, if that makes sense. All right. Sometimes Christians will make the mistake of thinking this group is the better group. Now, those groups are doomed when you say that. You're in a huge amount of trouble when you think a group is better. All right. And that God chose that in his word. He shows equally. That's where we're supposed to have equal concern. But we're blinded because we know what we see. And that's why he said you'll call somebody driving down the street in a Bentley blessed. And you see somebody driving down the street in a Yugo, if they still make those. They don't make those anymore. But you see them driving the street. You say, oh, poor guy. Didn't they both just drive down the street? You get this. But by our eyesight, we'd praise the first one and blast the second one. And we do the same thing with churches. We do the same thing with groups. We do the same thing with people. And he says, but there is to be no division. The reason why when these churches usually get together, the awkwardness comes in is because we put more emphasis on the differences and not on the similarity, which should have been Christ. Does that make sense? Should have been Christ. I remember when Promise Keepers used to be around, that's one thing they used to say. You get up there and they would say, one thing we all have in common is Christ. And everybody would say, yay. The problem was that wasn't always the case. Everybody had different versions of Christ. And you start seeing that even when you were part of them. And that's what should have been confronted. It should have been taken care of. That should have been something that should have been dealt with. But they didn't. They kind of went over it because it was a feeling. Instead of recognizing when Christ is different, now we have a problem. Okay, but we're all supposed to be one, and we all should have, and this is, but it, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Y'all get this? Equal concern. So I have to have, let's say we're looking at it in denomination, then I have to have the equal concern for the Methodist as I do for the Baptist, as I do for the Protestant, as I do for the so on and so forth. Equal concern. Not, oh, they're Baptist, that's not us. Oh, wait, they're Protestant. That's not us. You need to pray for them. You need to understand them. You need to accept them, or you need to reject them. And not based on you, got to be based on God. Y'all get this? Okay, some of the things we reject and some of the things we accept, think about how we do it. We'll bash some of the cults out there, and they're absolutely right. They should be, because they have nothing to do with Christ. But then you take the Catholic Church, for instance, and people, don't talk about them. Don't talk about them. And they're totally disconnected from the Christian way it's supposed to. But it's not just them. You got a lot of Protestant that are doing stuff that are disconnected as well. And we don't say anything because we're respecting the group and not Christ. And in that, there's division. Everybody with me? Okay? Stuff that we have to grasp and make sure we understand. Now, God is who sets the order and purpose of each role in the body. He's the one who puts in place what's important and what's not. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 12:12-31. Now you are the body of Christ. So he's talking to the church. He's saying, and each one of you is part of it. Remember I told you, if you like it or not, there's not like 1% plays all the parts and everybody else is just the members. No. Everybody plays a part. Now if you choose not to play the part, you're going to have to answer to God for it. It says, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all. So he stops there and he's showing us, I have an order on how I put these things. He's not saying apostles are better. He's not saying teachers are better. What he's saying is, you need to follow the order that I have given you. Do it my way, not your way. You know, I watched somebody who, remember I said the churches sometimes try to follow the world's way of doing things. How businesses work is you start off here and then you work your way up. That's great in the world. Churches, how it should be is I play a part. I may be in that part till the day I die. Amen, because that's my part. You don't go from a youth pastor and end up having churches of your own. And there was one who was excellent, and you could see it. And I'm sure this happened many other times. I remember in particular in which, as a youth pastor, he was outstanding. He was, you could tell the gift was there. And because of that, churches came in. We're going to give you your own church. Well, don't want my own church. Well, no, that's what the church committee got together, and the church committee said, and not based on the Bible, based on a business viewpoint, you need to move up. Amen? You need to be higher than that. You need to be. But that was his calling. Horrible pastor. I mean, it's chaos, everything. I mean, everything wrong, but they're keeping him there because we know it's in you, and we know this and that, and his passion. It has nothing to do with what he wants. It's what he was gifted to do. They took God out the equation, and man took it upon himself to say, this is what I'm going to have you do. Do y'all see the problem here? He was saying, these groups are put in there by God. Let it be done by God. Does that make sense? And then he makes clear, everybody's not that. So when that guy was supposed to be this pastor, they thought because he was such a good youth pastor, it says in verse 29, are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He says, but eagerly desire greater gifts. And now I will show you a more excellent way. Okay, so we see all this. And you know, 1 Corinthians 12 comes before 1 Corinthians 13. The more eager way is going to be love. All right. And as you show love, you'll pick the gifts that are going to benefit the body in order for the body to do the work that it's supposed to. But that's a whole nother thing, getting on gifts. But do you see how this works, in which my focus is when I get in there, I'm being used as God made me to be used. Not I'm going to move up. Not my status is going to be this. Not wait till you see my resume. Here's the problem. The world will look at your spiritual resume and go, wow, that person, man, he's great. He was this and he was this and he was this. And that's great. God's going to look at your resume and say, you were supposed to be this. Why did you move from this? Well, I thought. Exactly. Well, what I felt. Exactly. Y'all see how this goes? You know what I mean? It's what we thought. We letting people and groups tell us instead of us going, I'm not being used as I was meant to be used. How we see ourselves must be through Christ, not us. That's the key. It's the only way you're going to really be used by him is when you see it through him. Why do you come to church? To understand Christ, how he sees it. That's what faith is. Faith is me seeing it through him. Okay? Sight is me seeing it through me. That's why faith, he'll tell me to do something, and sight, I'll go, I don't think I can do it. I'm not the one you want to do it. Faith is, but you told me to do it, so I'm doing it. And this is how we have to use our faith. It says in Romans 12, 3 through 8, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So we all have a measure. My measure is not your measure. That's why it's dangerous when you come and tell me what I can do, and I come and tell you what you can do based on, because it's usually based on me. You ever hear somebody say, well, no, that's not for me. And another person go, why? Why can't you do it? You should be able to do it, right? And we start pressuring them because in my mind, you should be. In their mind, they should. I'm not saying they're right or you're right. What I'm saying is, what are you doing it based on? Are you doing it based on how you see it, or are you doing it based on God? There are cases where God is saying, I do want this person to stay here. And here you are pressuring them to, do y'all get this? You need to go based on what? So we see it through that. And that's why he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Some of us are going to end up in positions doing things we have no business doing because God's going, I didn't make you to do that. An eyeball will never be a hand. It's creepy, but it doesn't work either which way. Do you understand it? It can't. There's nothing, because he was made to be an eyeball. Amen. So understand, in the same way, God made us to be something. Let us mold into him and understand him so we can do what he would have us to do. It says in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members. If you notice the same theme he keeps using, and these members do not all have the same function. Okay? So some are going to be able to speak, some are not. And in some cases, just make sure none of this is based on your desire. It's all based on your strength in God. That's going to take time. You have to grow in that. Unfortunately, we're so stuck in our desire, we blame our desire for God's desire. Since I don't want to do it, then I think God doesn't want me to do it. You'll hear people say that? God doesn't want me to. Based on what? All right? However, sometimes he doesn't give me the power to do it. There's certain things I'm just not meant to do. And that's where we have to grow and understand him. He said, do not all have the same functions. It says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. He keeps coming back to that theme also. I'm not super duper Christian number one. I got this. I'm on my own. It's before I do anything, I need you. This is where that song comes from, why that song means so much. I need you to survive. I don't know if that's 100% what they meant when they wrote it, but this is what it's coming to when it's putting out there, is we're all part of one body. And I don't care how strong you're doing your part, if there's a part that's hurting, the whole body hurts. Right? Okay? You have a great athlete, messes up his knee. No matter what else the rest of his body does, he's no longer a great athlete until he fixes that knee. Am I right? Do y'all get this? Okay, so in the same way, if I know the body's hurting, part of my responsibility is to help the body based on God, not on that part. Does that make sense? And I got to do it because it benefits the body, not I got this. And this is why we struggle today, because we have so many individual and go it alone Christians. And God never meant it to be that. When he says you will be doing greater things than I, he wasn't talking to us as individuals. He was talking to us as the body. Y'all get this? When you just saw where he says we'll all perform miracles, right? But he told us, he says you will be able to perform more miracles or even better miracles than I have. He wasn't talking to the individuals, because not all are going to be able to do those miracles. However, as a body, when we work as a body, the ones who are the ones who can perform miracles will be able to do them effectively. Y'all get this? Not all are going to be ministers. But the ones who minister, if we act like a body, will be able to do it more effectively. And that's how the process is supposed to work. It says each member belongs to all the others, and we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So my gift isn't based on me going out and working out like Rocky. Okay, I don't go out and say I'm going to be the best and I'm going to be this and I'm going to come out. No, God already said, no, this is what you're going to be. You can work as hard as you want. This is what I made you to be, period. You can't mold into something else. That's a big part of this, okay? So my job isn't to try to mold into what I want. My job is to get to know Christ. This is why we talk about relationship, so I know what I am, right? I'm not supposed to raise my child to be. I'm raising my child to know what he is. Think about that. That's why I raise my child to get to know Christ, not raise my child to be all they can be. Did y'all catch this? And the reason why we struggle with Christ is we're too busy trying to be what we want to be instead of actually acknowledging God on what we already are. Y'all with me? Okay. When I know what I already am, now I can be used by him. And that's where the relationship part comes up. The more I get to know God, the more I see what I'm responsible for. And then I can do it. That's why it says, according to the grace given us. If a man gives his prophecy, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All of those things Christians will play a part in, but you have certain ones which are going to master them. That's going to be their job. Do y'all get this? I can't go and beat you up for what you don't do that I do, and you can't beat me up when I don't do what you do. Don't measure me based on you, and I'm not going to measure you based on me. We have to go for what Christ is. The only measurement I should have for everybody in here and that you should have for me is your relationship with God. Y'all get this? Your relationship with God. Then you get an understanding of where you should be. There are certain levels all of us should be, like Paul when he says y'all should be teachers by now. He didn't mean in the role of teachers. We all should be able to teach a lot of the elementary and things of that sort. There's a level we have to be at a certain time. But when it comes to roles and our part, you'll only know that when you have a true relationship with God. So look how we have to do it. First, we must cleanse ourselves to be used by God. And believe it or not, most have not done this. 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 21 says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble purposes. Ignoble. It says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, that's the ignoble purposes, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, he just kind of gave you an answer there. He was like, so either you're going to be used for noble purposes, which that's what Christians are supposed to be, or you're going to be used the world, but he's going to be used in the world, ignoble purposes. I have to cleanse myself from the first. How do I do that? Do you want to know how? Okay, let me show you. If you go to John 17. John 17. I was just going to refer back to it, but I want to make sure you see it. So in John 17, where we know that prayer that Jesus gives. And the verse I'm particularly looking for, no, Father. It's in there somewhere. The part where I'm talking about is where it's pointing to where he says, because they have obeyed the word, now they are clean. Do y'all see that anywhere? So 6 says, I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. That's part of it, but that's not the exact 14. All right, let's look at 14. 14 and 19. Okay, look at 14 first. I have given them your word, and the word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you not taking them out, protect them. Verse 17, and that goes into 19. Okay, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe through me in this message. So all of that kind of covers it. There's one other I want to catch. But if you could look for it, and I have to find it and get it to you. But there's a verse that clearly says, because you have obeyed my word, you are now clean. And that's the key we have to understand. The thing that cleans us, or to make us cleansed, is the word. In other words, the more I'm not just reading, because you have some very good readers or studiers of the words, but those who apply the word. As you apply the word or live the word, you are cleansed. Did you get that? Then I can be used for noble purposes. If I just read the word to know it, but I don't apply it, still no cleaning. Do y'all get this? Okay, I have to apply it. John 15:3. Let's look at that. So John 15:3. I am the true vine. Yeah, that might be right. Let's look at this. I'm going to start in 1. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Very good. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then we can go on and on. So that's another good part of it. So I think that's part of it as well. So, but the word is what cleanses us. So when we read that verse, and he says, when you cleanse yourself, and thank you all for your help on that. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes. So the only way as a Christian that I can really be used as a Christian is if I study the word, not my own version, but do it and apply it. Now I'm cleansed, God can use me. Some of the things God says and tells us to do are not desirable. In fact, downright uncomfortable. But a big part of it is so that we can be used. So we can be used by him. And then I have to get my focus to then go in to minister to others and not let me get in the way. We must live to understand and serve others with the gospel as our purpose. It says, 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jew. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am free from God's law, I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, and that I may share in its blessings. So then my purpose changes, where I have to get me out of the way. I have to get my comfort out of the way. I have to get my situations and what I feel out of the way. I have to adjust for them based on the gospel. This whole process works as a collective, as a group. With technology and stuff like that, we've become more and more separated, and just in our own selfish means we have. We do our own thing and think, I'm going to be super Christian, not realizing you're missing something because you're not communicating with one another as you should. The more I understand what my part is, I have to communicate with others. So let's keep this in mind. We all have a part. We must be responsible for our part. The way we get to know our part is our relationship with Him. And that's what we're going to be responsible for, what He tells us we are responsible for. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to ask our Father for His continual guidance. Thank Him for all that He does for us, for us to stay focused in Him walking through faith. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as we should always do as an example to our children and along with our children, is pray continually. Prayer and meditation. Isn't it good? We don't have to worry. We can just rely and trust in Him. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. Amen.